Okay, great. So we don't want the international dateline to run through any land masses, right? So therefore we draw the map around these areas, right? So therefore Siberia, even though it's partially to the east of the international dateline, according to the Chazon Ish, will include everything to the west of the international dateline. Australia, even though a minority of it is to the east of the international, to the west, right, and a majority of it is to the east of the international dateline, nevertheless, we will include everything to the west of the international dateline. Right? Because all the land masses we want to be on the same side as the international dateline. Any islands will be separate, right? So if you look at Japan, right, so Japan is off the coast of Asia. Japan is to the east of the international dateline. So according to the Chazon Ish, everything in Japan is really one day behind what they think it is over there. Meaning, they follow the secular international dateline, and according to them, let's say Saturday is Shabbat, Sunday is Sunday, right? According to the Chazon Ish, Japan is actually to the east of the international dateline, and therefore, it's not so simple, and therefore, Shabbat would be, Sunday would really be Shabbat, according to the Chazon Ish, because really the days are really one day behind, because it's to the east of the international dateline, as opposed to being to the west of the international dateline. And that's really, according to the Chazon Ish, Japan is really the last place in the world where Shabbat starts, not the first place in the world where Shabbat starts, according to the Chazon Ish. And similarly, New Zealand and Indonesia, all these places would be to the east of the international dateline, and their Shabbat would be, what they call Sunday, would really be Shabbat. That was the first opinion we saw.
Today, Japan and let's say Hong Kong, Shabbats are at different times?
According to the Chazon Ish, correct, right. You know, they're very close, right? Look at the map, they're probably...
You're talking like,
100 miles, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So according to the Chazon Ish, so Shabbat's on two different days in Japan and in Hong Kong. Because
international dateline is...
it's going to basically run until the end of the Asian continent, but it's not going to include any of the islands. Meaning it's 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, which basically is this line that cuts down, right? But he doesn't want to split land masses in half. Because then you would have a situation where on one side of the street it's Shabbat, one side of the street it's Sunday, right? You don't want to have that situation. So therefore the Chazon Ish felt that it must be that all the international dateline actually goes around the land masses and not through
because
the land masses.
Siberia is further out.
Right, Siberia is further east of Japan. It's actually to the west of the international dateline according to the Chazon Ish, and therefore it's really Sunday is really the day. It's really Sunday in Siberia when it's really Shabbat in Japan, according to the Chazon Ish. And if you look at the map on top, right? So we have the other opinion of Rav Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky. So he says that the international dateline is 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. So in that case, Australia, New Zealand, Japan are all to the west of the international dateline, right? And Alaska is questionable, right? Because Alaska sort of sticks out. But everything else to the west of the international dateline is going to be... everything else is going to be to the west of the international dateline. And what's going to come out a little bit different, right, is that if you look right above that this box here, right, you have the thing that says EA Hawaii, right? The Hawaiian Islands.
Right.
So according to the, if you look at that zigzag line that you see over here, right, that's the secular international dateline. So according to the secular international dateline, Hawaii is on the east, right? And therefore, Hawaii is actually one of the last places in the world that the day begins. According to Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky's international dateline, Hawaii is actually to the west of the international dateline, and therefore it's actually one of the first places in the world where the day begins. And therefore, the day that they call Friday in Hawaii is really Shabbat. And the day that's really, the day they call Shabbat is really Sunday, according to him.
Who
do you follow? Okay, good. So let's do the third opinion, and then we'll talk about more practical things. Okay, now the third opinion is basically that we basically follow however people in those places treat the day. Meaning when the people originally settled that area, right? So how did they treat that day? So basically the way things generally worked, right, was that people heading to the east, let's say the cradle of civilization is somewhere around Israel, right? Somewhere in the Middle East is where civilization originally began, right? Which both according to secular and religious texts, that's where civilization began. So people spread out from there, right? So as people headed east, they kept the same day, just their hours got earlier, right? The sun was setting earlier and earlier and earlier as they headed east, basically till they came to the end of the Asian continent, right? As people headed west southwest into Africa and west into Europe, so basically their days kept getting earlier, right? But they also kept basically the same days. So basically it would come out that you would end up basically following the secular international dateline. Hi, how are you?
Is this here?
Sure.
Right? For international.
Please, b'chavad, please join us. What's your name? Okay. Let's take this sheet and take a copy of our maps so you can follow along on the maps. Okay. So I could show you on, did I print it out for you? On the second side of this sheet that I gave you, right? So if you look at number 6, really look at number 5, right? We'll do this quickly because I want to get to more of the practical stuff, especially if we're going to try to end by 9:30, okay? So if you look at the Radvaz, okay? So the Radvaz is dealing with a different question. It's a very interesting question, which we don't really think about so much, but the question the Radvaz was dealing with was, how do we know that Shabbat starts wherever you are based on the times of wherever you are? Meaning, perhaps, the entire world should start Shabbat when Shabbat starts in Yerushalayim. Maybe every city in the world, whenever Shabbat starts in Yerushalayim, Shabbat should start in the entire world, and the entire world should have the same 24, 25-hour period as their time for Shabbat. So he says, that's not true at all. Don't even think that. And he explains why. If you look at his explanation in source number 5, he says, "Da, you should know, ki haShabbat nimsera lechol achad miYisrael." He says, Shabbat is given over to each individual in Israel. Shenemar, ki oti bein you veinechem. It is a sign between me and you. Ukimo sheot haberit hu lechol echad veechad. Just like the sign of, let's say, the Brit Milah, for example, that covenant is individualized. Each person has their own. Ken haShabbat nimsar lechol echad veechad. So too Shabbat is given over to each individual. Vechevan shaShabbat nimsar lechol echad. Bechol makom shehu. Shabbat is given over to each individual wherever he is. Moneh shisha yamim uvesof haShisha oseh Shabbat. He counts 6 days, and at the end of 6 days, he makes Shabbat. Shuzecher lemaaseh bereishit sheneemar ki shish yamim maaseh Hashem. It's a reminder of maaseh bereishit, as it says, ki shish yamim. Asa Hashem. Pasuk says 6 days Hashem made the world, the seventh day He rested. So he's hinting to a Gemara, the famous Gemara of Masechet Shabbat, that talks about the case where a person gets lost, he's in the desert, right? Or he comes up to some place where he doesn't know where he is, and he has no track of time, and he has no idea what day it is, right? So the halakha is that he counts 6 days, and the seventh day is Shabbat, and it really is Shabbat for him, meaning halakhically it really is Shabbat for him. And if it turns out that he did melacha on one of the days, and the day that he did melacha was really Shabbat, he's patur. He doesn't have to bring a korban or anything. Because that day really, for him, really was Shabbat. So we see that Shabbat, to a certain extent, has a subjective element to it. And therefore, it is based on human experience. Okay? So based on this Radvaz, people want to say that maybe we should really establish the international dateline based on the way people count. Right? Based on the way people live, and the way the societies in those places have their times. So for example, look at what Rav Zalman Meltzer says. This is the Sefer called Kava Tarich HaYisraeli, written by Rav Menachem Kasher, who also wrote the Torah Shlema. So in there, he gives his opinion, where he thinks you should follow the secular international dateline. So he has a bunch of rabbis who wrote introductions and haskamot and agreements to his book. So approbations for his book. So here, Rav Zalman Meltzer says, Gam ani maskin lepsak dino shel habitin be'eretz Yisrael, I also agree with the psak of the Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael, which is based on the Tshuva of the Radvaz. And that's the psak of the Sholem Yeshiv, the Gan of Shlomo Mohaliver, Vod Harbe Gdol Yisrael, She'en L'Shalom Chas V'Shlomo Zeh Shabbat B'Shum Makom Ba'olam. Don't change Shabbat anywhere in the world. Lo Liyom Rishon V'Lo Liyom Shishi. Don't make it earlier, don't make it later. Keep Shabbat the way it is wherever they are. Ki Ein Lanu B'Shas V'Shulchan Aruch Shum Remez She'ish L'Tchasheh B'Shmiyat Shabbat Im Kavim. There's no hint anywhere in Shas or Shulchan Aruch that you have to follow the any lines for defining Shabbat. This is such an important thing that somewhere in the Gemara, somewhere in Rambam, somewhere in Shulchan Aruch, it should say something about something, right? That when you cross the line somewhere, you're going to go from day to day, right? Ella ha'ikar moneh shisha u'mishamer shvi'i. So the main thing is he counts six and he keeps the seventh. Wherever they are, keep Shabbat the way they do right now. So if in that place, they have 6 days and then Shabbat, 6 days and then Shabbat, 6 days Shabbat, however they follow the Shabbat in that place, that's the way you should keep the Shabbat wherever you are. Okay? That's the opinion of Rav Ha'Isser Zalman Meltzer. And if you look, if you want to look at Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, has a similar psak as well. Okay? Now this opinion does get a little bit complicated because sometimes you have places that actually decide that they want to change. And you have places that actually shift on different sides of the international dateline. So like, for example, in Alaska, so in the 1860s, I think, Alaska was purchased from Russia by the United States. The United States purchased Alaska, right? So they actually shifted from being on the west side of the international dateline to the east side of the international dateline. They actually changed their day to compensate for that one day that they shifted. Like 2 p.m. on Wednesday became 2 p.m. on Tuesday or something like that. To make up for that shift, right? So let's say you had a Jew living there. Would he also shift his days? And would he also keep Shabbat? Keep a new Saturday based on the new days that they, right? Or would he just follow what he was doing before? Unclear. And in 2011, Samoa actually also switched over from this side the other way. They switched from the east side of the international dateline to the west side of the international dateline. Because they're doing most of their business with New Zealand and Australia, which are on the west side of the secular international dateline. And therefore, they wanted to be on the same day schedule as them so that their weekends wouldn't conflict. So therefore, they actually switched over from one side to the other. So you have the same question, would that affect Shabbat in those places, right, if you wanted to follow the secular Shabbat? Okay, that's the question. Fine. So what do we do halakha l'maaseh? So I didn't bring the sources here. I meant to, but I didn't. So basically, with the Star K recommends, and I saw something like this in the name of Rosh Hashanah, I've seen something like this in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, for different reasons, but the same basic idea. That basically, I'll tell you the way the Star K says it, which is not exactly the way the others say it, but I'll tell you the way the Star K says it. So basically, they say, follow two out of three, right? We have three opinions. So follow two out of three, and on the other day, be machmir not to do isurei do, for Shabbat, not to do isurei doraita, right? So follow two out of the three, on the other day, be machmir not to do isurei doraita. So let's take, for example, so China is no question. Everybody agrees China is to the west of the international dateline. Okay? Australia also, everybody agrees it's to the west of the international dateline. So what about Japan and New Zealand, right? There are Jews in Japan and New Zealand, so what do? So they say follow two out of three. So let's look at two out of three. So if you look at...
What do you mean two out of three?
So the three opinions we had as to where to draw the international dateline, okay? So if you look at the secular international dateline over here, right? So they say that, if you look at page 20 on the bottom, right? So they have Japan and New Zealand to the west of the international dateline, right? Similarly, if you turn to the other side, you look at the top map over here, of Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky's map, right? So then you also have Japan and New Zealand to the west of the international dateline. If you look at the bottom one, where the Chazon Ish's international dateline, you have Japan and New Zealand to the east of the international dateline. So follow two out of three. If you follow two out of three, Japan is to the west of the international dateline, which is where it is on the secular international dateline, which is the Saturday that they keep in Japan anyways, right? So that's great, right? However, the poskim recommend, from what I saw, the consensus is that one should try to avoid being there for Shabbat and Sunday, because there is this one opinion that Sunday is really Shabbat. If a person has to be there for Shabbat and Sunday, he should keep Shabbat as Shabbat. He keeps Sunday as Sunday, except for he does not do melacha. Some people say melacha doraita, some people say don't do any melacha. Some people just say just don't do any melacha doraita. So if he wants to, let's say, turn on a light, he should do it with a shinui. Do it in an unusual way, or ask a non-Jew.
like business travelers that are in Japan on a Sunday
should try to avoid doing Isurei Doraita. So that those are all Isurei Derabanan. Working on your laptop is also Isurei Derabanan. Money is all Isurei Derabanan. Getting into a taxi is Isurei Derabanan. Opening the taxi door may be Isurei Doraita. So then maybe you have to, because the light goes on, so maybe you have to do it in an unusual way or ask the taxi driver to open and close the door for you. So somebody once told me that we had a guest over for Shabbat, and her father is a lawyer, and one time he had to go to Japan for business and he had to be there Shabbat on Sunday. So he was lucky, he had a non-Jewish colleague with him. So he just had the non-Jewish colleague do all the malacha for him on Sunday. But business travelers don't always have that luxury, right? Sometimes they're on their own in Japan or New Zealand on Sunday, right? So in that case, you should avoid doing malacha. This is the psak of the Star K. It seems to be where Moshe Feinstein says, Caesar Shlomo Zalman Orbach says. And I asked Rabbi Elbaz from Shaaretz Zion here in Great Neck, and I asked him if Rav Avadia Yosef has any written writings about this, because he's very well versed in the writings of Rav Avadia Yosef. So he said that no, but he did speak to him personally about it a few times. And Rav Avadia Yosef also says that we can't decide definitively between these opinions, and therefore the same thing. You should try to be machmir on the other day, not to do, at least not to, I'm not sure if he said not to any malacha, or not to do malacha d'oraita, but certainly not to do melacha d'oraita. So whatever you should do b'shinui, do it in an unusual way, and knocks it down to d'rabbanan. Now, on the other side, we have Hawaii, right? So Hawaii, if you follow map, the secular international dateline, that's on the bottom of page 20, so Hawaii is on the east, right? So the day they call Shabbat is Shabbat, right? It's the last place in the world for Shabbat to start, one of the last inhabited places in the world for Shabbat to start. If you look at the map on the bottom, the Chazon Ish's map, also Hawaii is on the east of the international dateline. However, if you look, and that's one of the last places in the world for Shabbat to start. If you look at the top, you look at Hawaii on top, so then Hawaii is to the west of the international dateline, which makes it one of the first places in the world for Shabbat to start. And the day that they call Friday is really Shabbat, according to Yechiel Michal Tikhachinsky. So again, a person should try to avoid being in Hawaii on Friday and Shabbat to avoid this issue. If a person is going to go for whatever reason, try to leave Thursday night, or Thursday before sunset, actually. Because once you get to sunset on Thursday night, you already get into issues, right? So at least, yeah, exactly. At least try to be in the airport before sunset on Thursday. That's why he just told me that he was listening to a tape, and this Rav got a call from Hawaii from this couple. They were vacationing there, and they had some question about making their make a microwave kasher. He's like, make a microwave kasher. What are you doing for Shabbat? They're like, I don't know. We have this whatever. He's like, okay, you should go to the airport before sunset on Thursday. So therefore, you avoid the issues, and then you get on the plane and then go home. Even in the air, which we'll talk about, you may have some issues in the air, right? Because it may become Shabbat somewhere along the way in the air. But we'll hopefully get to that soon. So anyway, so two out of the three opinions say that Saturday that they celebrate over there is Shabbat, right? One out of the three opinions says that Friday is Shabbat, right? So same thing. Shabbat there is Shabbat. If you happen to be there on Friday, so then don't do Malacha Doraita. So how do you prepare for Shabbat? You can't do Malacha on Friday, which is also maybe Shabbat, right? So the Star Case says, do your cooking on Thursday, right? And anything you're going to do on Friday, do the Shino. You want to light Shabbat candles? So try to get two incandescent flashlights with incandescent light bulbs that heat up, right? And turn it on with a shinui. And that's how you light your Shabbat candles. You don't violate any Isurei Doraita, and that's what you should do on Friday if you're in Hawaii for Friday.
But this is the case of travelers, right? What about people that live there?
So, it's a good question. It's a good question. Very good question. So, somebody asked me this question on Shabbat, and they were trying to say that they think that travelers would definitely follow the whatever day they keep over. I'm sorry, that residents would definitely keep the day they keep over there. I'm not so convinced. I'm not so convinced that the residents would really keep the day that's over there. And I think the Chazon Ish would say that the residents there are just making a mistake. I'm sorry you came here 30 years ago. You've been doing this for 30 years. You're just wrong. And therefore you should follow my thing. And if you want to be concerned for the opinion of the Chazon Ish, you would have to pull off this thing every week. I don't know. There was a settlement in Kobe when the Jews came there in 1941 from Europe, escaping the Holocaust, right? And they came to Kobe and Shanghai. There were Jewish settlements there. And they were keeping Shabbat the day Saturday, the way like everybody else. But then they asked this question to the Chazon Ish, and they knew there was a question, and that created this whole issue with what we discussed it a little bit at the end last time about Yom Kippur, that they wanted to know what day to keep Yom Kippur, so they sent telegrams to the United States. We're not going to read it, but you can read all their telegrams over here. All their telegrams are available if you want to read what they wrote, right? So And then they had this whole issue. They quoted the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish told them that really 90 degrees is the international dateline, and that's where this whole issue began. But the established communities there before were keeping Shabbat as Shabbat. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you for the residents there. My guess is that people would say for them to be machmir also, but certainly for travelers, from what I saw, the consensus seems to be that the consensus is that we don't have a consensus. That there is no clear answer, and therefore, at least for Melachot D'oraita, won't you be machmir on the other day? Okay, good. So that's in terms of what we do. Okay, now let's talk about actually crossing the international dateline. Okay, so what happens if we actually cross this dateline? So let's look at this. I had printed out another sheet here. Okay, so we're going to talk about a few things. Okay, the main things to talk about are, we'll see if we have time for all of them, but to talk about Shabbat, when you cross the international dateline, talk about tefillot, about potentially having to repeat tefillot, and we'll talk about if we have time, we'll talk about Sfirat HaOmer as well, which is actually what generated my interest in the topic at this time of the year to begin. Okay, let me just get the water. I'll be back in 1 second. Okay, so what about Shabbat? Okay, so now, you could talk about the theoretical case where a person, is standing on one side of the international dateline, right? Let's say he's standing on the east side of the international dateline, right? Shabbat starts, right? He keeps Shabbat for 1 hour. He makes Arvit, Kiddush, right? Now he crosses over to the west side of the international dateline. So what just happened? It went from Friday night to Motzei Shabbat. No, he goes to the west, right? So it just went from Friday night to Motzei Shabbat. So basically, he skips the whole day of Shabbat, right? Can he do that? Does he have to keep anything from the... Or was he able to really just get around keeping the whole Shabbat? Or, conversely, right, he's on the west side of the international dateline. Wherever it may be, right? He keeps Shabbat, okay? Then he crosses over to the east side of the international dateline. Shabbat's over, right? But now it just becomes Friday night again. Does he keep Shabbat again? Does he make Kiddush again? Does he have to say Shacharit, Tfilot again? Or does he say Shacharit, Shal Shabbat? What happens? Yisur Melacha, etc. That's the question. But beyond the theoretical question, right, there's a very practical question as well. L'ma'aseh, right, if you're flying from Hong Kong to Vancouver, right, and you leave Hong Kong Motzei Shabbat, heading east, right? So as you head east, so therefore it's becoming a little bit later, a little bit later, a little bit later, a little bit later, right? So let's say it's 11 p.m. Hong Kong time, then it becomes later and later and later, because as you head east, right, both your time is moving, plus as you normally head to the east, so the hours get later and later and later, right? But now you cross the international dateline. Let's say it goes to 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, right? Even 8 o'clock in the morning. Then you cross the international dateline and you go back to Shabbat at 8 o'clock in the morning on a flight. This is a very practical, very realistic case, right? This could happen all the time, right? So now you're in the air, right? Over some area where it is Shabbat, right? So now do you have to keep the rest of Shabbat on the plane, right? Just sit there and don't do malacha because you crossed the international dateline, right? Or do you say, no, I kept Shabbat already. Shabbat's over. This is something else. I don't know, whatever this is. It's not of my business, right? Do you do that, okay? So let's look a little bit in the more contemporary Sfarim. This first opinion is the Or LeZion, or Ben Zion Abba Shacham, Ben Zion Abba Shaul, who was a Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim. He passed away not so long ago, maybe 20 years ago he passed away. So maybe less. So he says that he has a whole teshuva about the international dateline. He says, "Kishiyagi lekav hamizrach, mutar lechalel haShabbat shel makom shiyatsa misham." So he says that he's talking about a case where you start, it's Shabbat on the west side of the international dateline, then you cross over to the east side, right, where it's no longer Shabbat because you just went back one day, so it's not Shabbat because you went back earlier, right? So he says that you're allowed to violate the Shabbat, so to speak. I'm sorry, other way around. So what's the case here? Maybe he means if you, maybe he means if you cross over, the other way, cross over to the west, right? Kevan shenimsa tam medina shu kfar etzlam yom rishon, velachen chal alav lasot havdalah afilu beemtza yom bli berkat mahori ha'esh. Right? If you cross into Sunday, right? So therefore, it's no longer Shabbat. So you have to make the. So he says you have to make havdalah. Ulufiza yitachen shadam yetzlo rak sha'achat Shabbat. In theory, you can only have 1 hour of Shabbat. In biknisat haShabbat hu samuch legvul haMizrach. When Shabbat starts, he's near the eastern side. Ulachar sha kvar nechnas leMizrach ukvar hitpalel arvit shel Shabbat kodesh vekidish al hayayin. Right. So after an hour, Shabbat already started where he is. He prayed arvit. Right. Shabbat he made kiddush. Laachar sha hitpalel arvit shel moshe Shabbat kodesh imadala. An hour later, right, because he crossed over to the other side. So now he's doing Havdalah. Shabbat's over. And he misses out on the whole day. I think his east and west should be the other way. I think he should say Ma'arav leMizrach, right? Because then you go back, right? If you head to the east, you cross over from the west to the east. So therefore, you're going back in time, and therefore, you're repeating the day of Shabbat, and therefore, you would have to do everything again. Right? So basically, according to Or LeZion, everything follows the place where you are right now. If where I am right now it is Shabbat, I follow Shabbat. If where I am right now it's not Shabbat, it's not Shabbat. Right? It's nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with whether I kept Shabbat already, I didn't keep Shabbat already. Right? It's nothing to do with if I kept 1 hour of Shabbat, I kept 25 hours of Shabbat, it doesn't make a difference. All that matters is where I am right now. And if where I am right now, it is Shabbat, so I keep Shabbat. If it's not Shabbat where I am, I don't keep Shabbat right now. That's what he says, right? So according to this, when I'm flying over, right, if I'm flying in the plane, and I cross the international date line, so when it's if it's Shabbat wherever I am, so it's Shabbat wherever I am. That's what it is, right? Okay. Here in the next source, this is Shuvot V'Hanhagot, this is Rav Vozner, who was a Rav in Bnei Brak, and he says, Hadavar Pashut, She'ein Shabbat achar Shabbat. He says, there's no such thing as Shabbat after Shabbat. V'tam hadavar, she'ein ha-makom sibat ha-chiyuv de Shabbat. The place is not what creates the obligation of Shabbat. Ela al ha-gavra chal ha-chiyuv lishmor Shabbat. It's on the person. It's on the individual to keep the Shabbat. Rak she-chiyuv zeh nekbal kifi ha-makom she'ein zah. So the normally, we determine the obligation of keeping Shabbat based on wherever you are. So wherever you are, Shabbat is Shabbat. That's your personal obligation. But really, it's based on your personal obligation of Shabbat. Right? Aval im b'Shabbat kfar kiyem yishamarta Shabbat. Let's say you already kept Shabbat. Kfi ha-makom shenimtza. Ein mitchayev shuv b'Shabbat m'makom ha-samuch lo. He can't create Shabbat again in the new place where he goes to. Shim shamarta Pesach. So let's say he kept Pesach, right? V'yatza v'gam la-pircha. And he finds a flying camel, just an example, just an imaginary case, right? So he finds a flying camel, right? I think it's some language probably the Gemara has of how you magically get from one place to another, right? They didn't have airplanes, right? So I have a flying camel, right? And it flies me somewhere, think about the international dateline, right? Shabbat's over in New York, Pesach is over in New York, and an international dateline, some magic camel flies me to L.A., So LA Pesach's not over yet, right? So he says, Shlosha ka'achama, v'adayin Pesach. Pshita she'eno chayav yoter, right? He thinks it's obvious, you're not chayav in Pesach anymore. It's over, you kept your Pesach, you did your Pesach, right? So Or LeZion says, it all depends on the place, on where you are. It's location-based. It's completely the location determines the Shmirat Shabbat. The Shuvat V'Haragot says, the person determines. It's your experience to determine Shabbat. Therefore, if you kept Shabbat already, that's it, you're done. You finished. Mazel tov, you kept Shabbat. You don't have to keep it again. Right?
The person has a responsibility to, let's say, fulfill a certain number of Shabbat, a certain number of Chagim, a certain number of days.
Yeah. So you're saying you're supporting
off,
it?
He checked off his calendar, you know, I kept Shabbat Bahar Bachukutah.
Exactly. Right? That's what it says. I did it. Right? It's over. I did the mitzvah Shabbat. That's it. I finished. Right? I kept 24 hours. I didn't do malacha. Great. I'm done. Right? Right? Okay. So that's the machloket over here. So let's see what the Starkei has to say. Starkei has very convenient psak on a lot of these issues. So he says one should preferably not depart Sydney, Hong Kong, or Shanghai, going east over the Pacific on Sunday, as according to the Chazon Ish, it is Shabbat shortly after takeoff, right? Because especially according to the Chazon Ish, right, you're going to pass the international dateline in 10 minutes, right? If you leave Hong Kong, right, heading east, right, on Motzei Shabbat, okay, in 45 minutes, you're going to have crossed the Chazon Ish's international dateline, and you're going to be in Friday night, right? And you're going to have a long time.
Hong Kong, Motzei Shabbat, and let's say New York is usually about 12 hours behind, right? 12 hours behind Hong Kong. So let's say on the Los Angeles side, they're 15 hours behind, right?
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
15 hours behind.
Right.
So
if it's 11 p.m.
It's gonna be like a little bit past midnight.
So let's say it's midnight in Hong Kong, right? So what you're saying is it's 9 a.m. Shabbat morning in L.A. Right, but yes, it's 9 a.m. Shabbat morning in L.A. But according to the Chazon Ish, right, if it's midnight Motzei Shabbat in Hong Kong, right, it's midnight Friday night in Japan, right. Because that's where you just crossed the dateline and you went back one day, right? So your bigger issue than LA, right, is according to the Chazon Ish, you have a much bigger issue because 45 minutes into the flight, you're going back into Friday night.
It's essentially Shabbat all over again for almost the entire flight.
Right. The only advantage is that you're heading in the right direction. Meaning, first of all, time is in your favor, and heading east, the sun, you're getting closer and closer to the sunset. So therefore, you're probably not going to have to. It's not going to be Shabbat your entire flight. I mean, you're not going to land in New York and it's still going to be Shabbat. That's probably not going to happen, right? But and even when you land in Vancouver, I don't think it's still going to be Shabbat. I don't think so. But let's see what he says. Okay, so it is Shabbat shortly after takeoff when the plane is flying northeast over the Pacific Ocean. Bishat hadachak, and if very necessary, if one flies on Sunday. One should not do any melacha de'oraita until nightfall, right? Because according to the Chazon Ish, right, you already crossed the international dateline. I mean, if you take a further east international dateline, right, so by the time you cross that international dateline, probably Shabbat's almost over, right? Because you have another, you know, it's going to be 6, 7, 8 hours. It probably depends if it's the summer or the winter, but definitely in the winter, right? In the winter, if I take a further east, if I take the secular international dateline, by the time I cross that international dateline, Shabbat's pretty much almost over, right? But if I take the Chazon Ish's international dateline, so then I'm crossing the international dateline almost right away, right, and I'm going back to Friday night, now I'm going to have a long time where it's still Shabbat, okay? So he says, so you should not do any melacha d'oraita until nightfall. Similarly, it is preferable that one should not depart from these locations to fly eastward to America on Friday, right? Because when you leave on Friday, right, so if you take a very Eastern definition of the international dateline, let's say I leave Friday at noon, okay, from Hong Kong. So if I take a very Eastern definition of the international dateline, let's say Rechiel Michel to Kaczynski's international dateline, where the international dateline is east of Hawaii, right? So therefore it's Friday, and it's getting later and later and later and later, right? And I'm going to run into Shabbat on my flight, till I cross the international dateline, which is going to send me back one day, right? So therefore, you have a different issue, right? I mean, there it's Shabbat until I cross the international dateline. If I'm starting on Motzei Shabbat, then once I cross the international dateline, it's going to become Shabbat again, right? And then I have to not do Malacha until it comes dark again and Shabbat's over. If I'm flying on Friday, so therefore it's going to become Shabbat soon, in a couple of hours, right? Then it's going to be Shabbat until I cross the international dateline and I go back. So if I have the easternmost definition of the international dateline, it's a long time until I cross that international dateline, right? So he says, "Bishat ha'dachak, if one departs on Friday, one must take off well before sunset to avoid issues of Tichum Shabbat," which is interesting, "and keep Shabbat from sunset until crossing 144.8 degrees west longitude, when it is Friday again according to all opinions, including Yechiel Mecha Tichinsky." So he says, if I leave on Hong Kong on Friday, so then once it becomes dark, right? So then it's going to become Shabbat, right? Which could happen in a couple of hours into my flight because I'm heading east and it's getting dark sooner. Plus, I have time in my favor, right? Or against me, whatever. And it's getting Shabbat closer and closer. So until I pass that international dateline, right, it's going to be dark. It's going to be Shabbat, right? So I can't do any malacha, at least not malacha d'oraita, okay? Maybe not no malacha at all. I don't know. Until I cross that international dateline, and it goes back into being Friday. That's what he says. Okay, now what about tefillot? This is a question people were asking me a lot last week. I'm sorry that people weren't able to make it again. But we're talking about a lot last week, okay? So he's a hine. Look, he's a yishli stapek. We can ask the following question. Misha yab ben Melbourne, right? This is written in a certain sefer. We'll see the Shul Patel HaChochma is quoted. He was a rabbi in Melbourne, actually, or somewhere else in Australia. So Misha hayab in Melbourne, obiyapan, oh, be China, China, v'chadome, v'itpalel sham arvitz, l'mashah, b'leil dalet. Okay? So the night of Wednesday, Tuesday night, he prays arvitz. Uvaboker b'yom dalet, hitatef betalit. He puts on his talit, v'niach tefillin. The karak kriyat shema, v'itpalel. He did everything, right? And Wednesday he did everything. He prayed shacharit already, right? V'gam itpalel mincha sham. He even could pray mincha there. It's even possible to pray mincha there. V'shuv nasa l'America. Uve'emsa nisiyato avara kavatarech v'nasa lo v'chasera yom shlishi again, right? So now it becomes night. But then he crossed the international dateline. Instead of being the next morning, he goes back to Tuesday morning, right? He goes back in time and he crossed the international dateline flying from west to east. Im zarech lachzor litpalel. Does he have to go back and pray all the tefillot again when it becomes Wednesday again? So does he have to do everything again, right, on that next day, right, because it became the new day, right? Does he have to, it's going to become Wednesday again, right? I mean, once the sun rises, it'll become Wednesday again. So now does he have to do Shacharit again? Does he have to do Mincha again? Which he already prayed in Hong Kong or in Melbourne before he crossed the international dateline, right? Now does he have to do it again? So he says, V'yineh b'beir ha-safek, yesh lachor. We can ask the following question. Be'im chiyuv ha-tfilah v'ha-mitzvot shel kol yom v'yom, yigon talitu tfilin, tuliyot b'mei ha-shavua. Does it depend on the days of the week? Kigon Rishon v'Shabbat, Sheni v'Shabbat. V'hainu d'chol yom v'yom mimot ha-shavua v'ashana chayav adam litpalel l'kayem ha-mitzvot shel oto yom. Does it depend on Sunday has an obligation for tefillah, Monday has an obligation for tefillah, Tuesday has an obligation for tefillah, each day has an obligation for tefillah? V'asher ha-ken me'achar shekvar yitpalel v'kayem ha-mitzvot shel yom revi'i v'meil en kan makom l'chayvo l'achzor v'la'asotan. So every day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, has its own obligation for tefillah. So since he did that day's obligation, he's done. He finished the day. It's finished, right? He did Wednesday. And if he goes back into Wednesday, it doesn't make a difference. He already did Wednesday. Check, as you were saying before, right? He has a list. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he has a checklist, right? Checks off Sunday, checks off Monday, checks off Tuesday. He's done. Finished. He doesn't have to do it again, right? Ulam yishlomar, however you could say, the law is lean on batar yome hashavua bazeh. We don't follow the days of the week. Doesn't follow the days of the week, it follows the days which you experience. Doesn't make a difference what day of the week is. Okay? So the other opinion is that days depend on days, right?
You throw a calendar out, as long as
it doesn't make a difference. As long as it's exactly, it's a new day for you. You experience the new sunset, you experience the new nightfall, and most importantly, you experience the new sunrise. Became a new day. So now to pray Shacharit again, to pray Mincha again, pray Arvit again, everything again, right? Because it's a new day, right? I'm experiencing a new day. So that's, he writes in Meshub B'Tzela Chochma. He says, "Aval hey lo chivu Chazal itpalel gimel tefilot barishon b'Shabbat, b'Shini b'Shabbat." Chazal never said you had to play three on Sunday and three on Monday. That's not what they said. El chayvu itpalel gimel tefilot kol yom vayom, every day. V'chol sheshakea chama v'yatu akochavim harehu yom acher v'chaval itpalel bo zimnin tlata erev oger b'tzalim. That's the opinion of Shul Patel HaChochma. That it all depends on the day, right? So once I have a new day, even though I already prayed Tuesday, right? I already prayed Shacharit Mincha on Tuesday or Wednesday. Doesn't make a difference. It's a new Tuesday, it's a new Wednesday, I have to do everything again. That's what he says. Now, there are those that argue, this is a machloket, However, this is what the Tzelech Chochma says, and the Star case seems to follow this as well. Maybe if we have time at the end, we'll read this long English thing that they write about it, right? But that seems to be the opinion of the Starke as well. Okay? And if you look at just another topic before we read where the Star case is, and it will probably end soon, okay, is the question of Sfirat HaOmer. So what happens with Sfirat HaOmer when you cross the international dateline, right? So he says, okay, V'danu HaPoskim, look at this paragraph over here, the second line, V'danu HaPoskim. Eliyahu, you see it? V'danu HaPoskim. It's the right column, the second line, the first word on the line. And the Piskei Teshuvot. Okay, got it? V'danu Poskim Zmanenu. V'mishet Tas Melakom Lemakom. Apnei Kadur Haaretz. He's flying from one place to another on the globe. V'over et Kav HaTa'arich. He quotes the dateline. V'nosaf lo yom echad. He got another day. V'mikre shenosea mimarav lemizrach. When he's going from west to east. Or, alternatively, nechzar lo yom echad. Or he's missing out one day. V'mikre shenosea mimizrach lemarav. Okay? So if you cross the international dateline, right? If you go from east to west, okay? So it was, let's say, the 33rd day of the Omer. It becomes the 34th day of the Omer, right? If it was you go from west to east, right? It was the 34th day of the Omer. Now it goes back to being the 33rd day of the Omer. So what do you do to count? Ech nahegim sfirat ha-Omer. U'shlosha deyot matzinu bazeh. There are three opinions. Deyah rishona. Kishin nosaf lo yom echad. When he gets an extra day, meaning when he goes east. Sofer od pa metas sfirat she-safar etmol. B'li bracha. So let's say it was 33. Let's say it was 34 on the west side of the international date line. Now he goes back and it becomes 33, right? So he counts the day that he already counted. He counts it without a bracha. And he can continue counting with a bracha, like the people of wherever he goes to. Let's say he goes west and he misses out a day. He says you continue counting with the people who are there without a bracha. Kevan shedileg sfirat yom echad, because he skipped one day. Now again, I'm not sure, I don't fully understand this opinion, because I'm not sure why you have to skip one day. Right?
But you skip the whole day.
Why do you skip a day? Meaning, it's the 33rd day of the Omer, right? Let's say it's nighttime, when I cross the international date line. So I counted 33 on the east side of the international date line. I crossed to the west, now it's 34, so count 34. Okay, 10 minutes ago I counted 33, fine, but now I'm going to count 34. So then, now next night's 35. Meaning what? It's hard for me to understand this opinion that you really miss out on the day.
From east to west,
in less than 24 hours, you don't have that. The next day starts.
Again, let's say I cross the international date line at 10 a.m. Right? It goes from 10 a.m. Tuesday to 10 a.m. Wednesday. Right? So last night I counted, when I was in New York, I counted 33 on Monday night going into Tuesday. Right? Lail Tuesday, I counted 33. Now at 10 a.m., I cross the international date line. I go from 10 a.m. Tuesday to 10 a.m. Wednesday. 10 a.m. Wednesday is the 34th day of the Omer, right?
You skip the night, though.
Okay, but if I miss a night, I count in the morning. But if I miss a night and I count in the morning, I can still count with the bracha, right? Let's say I'm at home. I forgot to count 34, I forgot. So in the morning, I wake up in the morning, I go to Kanisa, and they're counting 34, so I count 34 with them. Right?
Right.
So I count 34 with them, and the next night I count whatever, I think I'm 35, right? So I understand why you can't do the same thing when you cross the international dateline west, right? It was 34 on the east side, it was 33 on the east side, now it's 34. I missed the night. I can't miss the night because I forgot. I missed the night. Now I count 34, right? And then I continue counting the next night with a bracha. To me, that makes the most sense. But and that's the second opinion, right? Deya shniya, af shep kishe mechaser yom echad. Yimne b'li bracha, tayom she'avad lo. Missed, count without a bracha, the day that you missed, right? V'shuv, yimne mikan ve'elach, yimenhaga makom uviv bracha. And then count with a bracha. Now, if you missed the entire 34th day, it's not the 34th day anymore, by the time I come around to counting Sfirat HaOmer, okay, fine, that I understand. I understand why I can't count with a bracha, because I missed 34 completely.
What do you do then?
So then I continue counting without a bracha. Like same thing as if I was in New York and I missed 34 completely, right? I continue counting from 35 without a bracha. That's fine. But if I cross, I can still make the bracha. I can still say it. If I cross at night, then it's even easier, right? If I cross at night, So then I count 33 with a bracha on, in New York. Then I cross at night, right? I count 34 with a bracha in the Pacific Ocean, right? Yeah. It would seem to me. Or unless you say, you want to say, no, it's too close together. I can't count 2 days of Sfirat HaOmer 15 minutes apart. That doesn't make any sense. Fine, so they count 34 at night without a bracha, and they count 35 next night with a bracha. Meaning
all the flights going to the Far East, going west
from New York, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
So Michael was saying that some of the flights they go directly north and over that way or something. They go north over the.
Some of the flights that connect via Vancouver and stuff.
No, but they go over the North Pole.
Just go straight up that way?
Yeah, and then they, I don't know, they veer. Right, so maybe right. In that case you wouldn't end up crossing? I don't know. North Pole in general, you get very mixed up times when you're in the North Pole. But maybe that way it would be different. I don't know. But most of the flights, you're heading west. They go up over the North Pole, but then they come back down and they cross the international dateline at some point.
They leave, what, like 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon?
In the morning, yeah.
Could be whenever,
midnight,
right?
After midnight. Yeah.
Could be any time.
Either way, more or less almost daylight the whole way.
And then you cross the international date line, it's day. Michael's saying the goal is always to get there early, and they want to get there early in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So then it probably becomes night somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, right?
Yeah, it's night, and then all
becomes day again, day. Right? Yeah. So when it becomes night, so then that's already your next night, so you're at home, right?
Yeah.
I think.
If you're going like that, yeah.
Unless
the dark that you see is your night, basically,
right? Right, so you have to figure out which night that is. I don't know.
But what if you miss that? Period?
Right, if you miss it, so then you did. If you miss it.
So if you left on the 33rd, when you see dark, it's really dark on the 34th.
It depends where you are. Meaning, if you're on the east side of the international dateline, then it's.
Well, to get there in the morning.
Meaning,
I leave on Monday night. I get there Wednesday morning.
Right. So let's think about this. Okay. Let's take that case. Okay. I leave here Monday night. I say Sfirat HaOmer before I leave. Okay. Good. That was 33. Okay. Now I'm flying. I'm going west. Right. So it's getting earlier and right. But I'm not sure exactly how that works out. Right. So I end up on the West Coast, okay? So now, let's say now I pass California, right? So what time is it now?
Let's say you left at 9 p.m. By the time you get to California, it's already 6 p.m.
But I'm also 6 hours later, so it's really midnight, let's say. Right? It's midnight. I get to California, let's say it's midnight, right? And therefore, I had another 6 hours west, mm-hmm. right? So therefore, I'm somewhere in the middle of the night. It's like 6 a.m. or something, right? Something like that, right? And at some point, it's going to go from being 6 a.m.
I understand how you can hit dark. If you leave nighttime here, how do you
Well, it will become light and it will stay light, right? If you leave at night over here, it should stay
light the whole way.
Most of the way, I believe, at nighttime when I leave, it's most of the way is dark.
But at some point,
it doesn't go over California. It goes
much further north, right?
Yeah, it always goes through, you know,
Vancouver,
over Canada, Alaska, something like that.
So if it's Monday night, you arrive Wednesday morning, right?
Yes.
So basically, what's happening is it's Monday night. Then it becomes Tuesday night. Then it becomes
for a while, and then.
Then it becomes Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning all of a sudden.
Right. So at that point in time, we went from Monday night to Tuesday night, right? So then you can, because you already counted Monday night somewhere, which was 33, so then you can count Tuesday night somewhere, which is 34, with a bracha if you want. Or if you miss that, then you wait for the morning, right? Wednesday. Remember, Wednesday morning is the 34th day of the Omer.
Well, now you have to just probably follow your flight map.
How would I know exactly
when the date changes?
How would I know?
Right, so that's very hard, right? But if you could, depending on which international dateline you want to use, right? Let's say you want to use a secular international dateline. So if you could figure out when you cross over, then you know you went into the next night, and then you can count the next night of Omer, right? And then you get there in the morning, you can count the morning also without a bracha if you want, whatever you want.
But then, we cannot use the secular one either, right?
Well
if he's leaving on the night of the 33rd,
so let's
you're getting down the day of the 34th, so yeah, you're okay.
Right, you should be okay. Let's look at for this sample itinerary A. Okay, except for the end of the flight, this 15-hour flight. So you're leaving LA 10:10 p.m. You're arriving at Sydney 6:10 a.m. on Tuesday. 10:10 p.m. Sunday, 6:10 a.m. Tuesday. Right, you see this one over here.
Right.
Okay. So except for the end of the flight, this 15-hour flight is through the night. You dive in Ma'ariv in Los Angeles. After crossing the date line, an additional Ma'ariv is not required, right? Because we say that it depends on your experience, right? So just like when I head east, I have a new experience, I pray again. When I head west, it's the same experience, I don't have to pray again. Even though it instantaneously becomes the next night. If Sunday night is 32 Ba'omer, then one counts Sfira in Los Angeles. When crossing the date line, one counts 33 Ba'omer without a bracha. And then it counts 33 Ba'omer without a bracha upon landing in Sydney on Tuesday morning. I'm not sure why he says without a bracha, right?
Morning.
No, but what about at night? Because when you cross the date line, you count 33 Ba'omer without a bracha. So I don't know why at night, you don't, why without a bracha. Okay, let's accept this psak. So you count it at night without a bracha, and then in the morning again without a bracha. Maybe you're being concerned for different opinions, I don't know. Then on Tuesday night, the 34th of the Omer, and on the remaining nights of Sfira, a bracha is recited, which makes a lot of sense, right? That's what I was telling you before, right? That as long as you find a way to get 33 in there, right? Whether it's at night, he says do it at night without a bracha, maybe you can do it at night with a bracha, whatever it is. Let's just say do it at night without a bracha, just to be safe. Or in the morning without a bracha. So you've caught 33, right? And now you continue with 34 with a bracha, right? That's the second opinion, okay? Now let's go back to this bottom thing down here, okay? Now the third opinion is Ein lo lihitchashev meshe yudei hamakom sofrim el sarich lamshich et haspira shelo. This is a very, very interesting opinion. It's a very famous opinion of the Lubavitcher Rebbe that you don't care about the Sfirat HaOmer of the people who are there. You 100% keep your own Sfirat HaOmer. So therefore, if I counted 32 before I left, right, the next night which I experience is 33. So even though it's 34 for them, I'm still counting 33.
Even if you skip the day?
I didn't, because Sfirat HaOmer doesn't depend on the day where I am. This is the third opinion. Sfirat HaOmer depends on me.
Just counting.
Me, exactly. Right. So for me, this is the 33rd day of the Omer.
Right.
Right? Kimisha Safara, that's a blila daleg. So it says, El Zarech Lamshech da Sfirat Shalo, Kimisha Safara, that's a blila daleg, Olach Bil Yom Echad, Ki Sfirat HaOmer, Hi Mitzvah, Mutalat Al Kol Yachid, V'Yachid, V'Yenem Kashor Lofi HaMakom. Now, what happens to this, according to that, what happens to Shavuot then?
In Shavuot, you're different.
Right. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says you have your own Shavuot. That's what he says. Because you have your own Shavuot. Is everybody else keeping Shavuot in one day? For you, that's the 49th day of the Omer. The next day, you have your own Shavuot. I don't know people who follow this, but that's he says you shouldn't say Yom Chag HaShavuot Hazeh until the second day, whatever. Lo Mishnah, but whatever. Yeah, and then, no, but also if you go from west to east, then you have Shavuot a day earlier than everybody else, because you're a day ahead of them in the counting of the Omer.
So which opinion do we go with?
So I would follow the Star K opinion. I think that's the best opinion. Follow the psak of the Star K, that when you cross the international date line, try to get in that one day that you're missing, right? Whether it's in the morning when you arrive, or whether it's at night when you're on the plane. He says without a bracha, so I'm not going to argue, do it without a bracha, right? And then you can continue counting with a bracha, right? And if you cross east, right? So look at when he says east, right? So let's say you're going from Hong Kong 11:10 a.m. You have to go. Okay. Thank you very much, Adam. All the best. So, okay. You're leaving Hong Kong 11:10 a.m. Tuesday. You're arriving in Chicago 12:50 p.m. Tuesday. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay. The sun sets several hours into this 13-hour flight and then rises several hours later. One daven's Tuesday mincha 2 hours after takeoff. Okay, because you're leaving 11:10 a.m. You can't pray mincha yet before you leave Hong Kong.
Correct.
So pray mincha 2 hours after takeoff. Ma'arif after nightfall. Okay, Shacharit after sunrise. Although the dateline has been crossed before sunrise, and it is Tuesday morning again, one davens the Tuesday Shacharit on the plane, and Tuesday Mincha in Chicago. One davens all three tefillot twice on Tuesday, since these laws are governed by cycles of sunrise and sunset, not by days of the week. He follows the Betzel HaChokhmah, and he says we don't follow days of the week, we follow cycles of sunrise and sunset. Since he had a new sunrise and sunset, or sunset and sunrise, so you have a new day of Sfirat HaOmer. Okay, I'm saying a new day of Tefillot. Now, if Tuesday, actually, somebody, there are those that argue with this, right? This is machloket, but this is what he says. If Tuesday is 33 on the Omer, so you count 33 of Omer a Monday night in Hong Kong before you leave, okay, because you're leaving Tuesday morning, right? Mm-hmm. So you leave Monday night before you leave 33. After landing in Chicago on Tuesday, 33 of Omer is counted again without a bracha, because you already counted 33, you're not going to make another bracha on 33, and it's the morning anyways, mm-hmm. right? Then on Tuesday night, 34 Ba'omer, and now the remaining nights, a Sfira, a Bracha is recited, right? So now you're back into count, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you had an extra day of 33 should not be a reason to lose your count. The only reason, maybe you lose your count if you head west. I don't see any reason why you would even think to lose your count if you're heading east. Right? The fact that you have an extra day is not going to make you lose your count. The only question is if you're heading west, then maybe you lose your count. But if you're heading east,
yes.
to me, yeah. So I would recommend following the psak of the star K, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a new day, do new tefillot. If you don't have a new day, then keep your whatever tefillot you did already are good, right? When it comes to Sefirat HaOmer, you're heading west, trying to make up that day somehow that you missed, but don't let a whole 24 hours go by without your counting, right? Make sure that either when you cross the international dayline or when you arrive the next morning, you count the next day, 34, whatever it is, and then that night, continue counting with a bracha, right? And when you head east, you're getting an extra day, but it's not going to ruin your count. Just count, but make sure you count when you get back to New York, right? Because you want to have a counting on this day where you are, right? And then you're good to go. Okay, very good.
Question:
what that dayline is?
Yeah.
Good, good, yeah. So, again, I think